Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
I am so happy I've gotten some very special gifts that I'm going to share with you today on this show. Here we are just, a few weeks away from that big holiday. Those who celebrate in the Christian way Christmas will be celebrating. And, of course, you know, everything that surrounds that. But it also points directly to how we function as a nation in terms of our economics, because here's a time when much of them of our economy will count on what we do and what we sell this coming holiday season, believe it or not. And it plays into a book that I received that I have in my hand, which I think it's a perfect gift for you to give to your child or to your grandchildren or to your children or to someone that you know. It's called Let's Chat About Economics: Basic Principles Through Everyday Scenarios. Now, it's written by Michelle Balcony and Dr. Arthur Laffer. And it is just a delightful book, which just demonstrates what I've been preaching about the importance of getting our children started on the understanding of economics. It's a big word with a huge meaning, but it is so explainable if you take the time to do it. And this book is designed to help you do that. So it's just a great gift. And the other gift that I am pleased to share with you will be a second guest on today, and that is something that Walmart is involved in, folks. As part of Walmart's continuing commitment to supporting veterans, it has partnered with the Institute for Veterans and Military Families, the IVMF, Team Red, White, and Blue, Team Rubicon, Hire Heroes USA, and Blue Star Families, and launched what they are calling the Green Light a Vet campaign. I'll explain more to that. As a matter of fact, I won't explain it to you. I have the wonderful Brigadier General, retired Gary Proffitt, is going to join me to explain that. But right now, I'd like to invite to the show, welcome to the show, Michelle Balcony, who is the author of this book, Let's Chat About Economics. Michelle, welcome to Home and Family Finance. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me.
Where are you today?
Today, I am in Detroit, Michigan.
That's my home. That's what I thought. I'm just going to tell you. I'm from Detroit, Michigan.
I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I was born in Detroit. Moved away to Ohio for a while and then back to Detroit. Graduated from Cass Tech there in Detroit and on and on and
on. I know Cass Tech very well. Great school.
Well, I should have known something this good had to come from somebody from Detroit. I just should have known that. But I do.
I love that this book comes out of Detroit. I absolutely love everything about that.
Yeah, and with love and gratitude to my husband and children, our chats lead to fun adventures. What a wonderful feeling about a book about economics. Talk to me about it. Why did you write this book? What was the inspiration here?
Sure. The inspiration was that I saw who became my co-author. I did not know him before. I saw Dr. Arthur Laffer give a presentation in Detroit at the Detroit Economic Club in 2012, and it was a great presentation. He not only is a very well-known economist who served in President Reagan's administration.
Yes, yes.
He's a bright man, and he's very charming, and he's able to explain economics in everyday terms. So my husband and I attended that lecture. And that night, we had a really great discussion with our children, who were 10 and 12 at the time, about what Dr. Laffer talked about. And we were interested in our kids' examples of scarcity and supply and demand and many other terms.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a great discussion at the dinner table. And like most families, that doesn't happen every night. There are activities. There are all kinds of things that prevent a family from sitting down at 6. This just happened to be a night we could all be at the dinner table at 6 o'clock. We were each sharing what we had done that day.
Yeah.
And we were thrilled that we had just had a conversation about economics with our kids.
That's fascinating. I mean, you know, I hear you. You're pointing out there's nothing unusual about us. It was everything was lined up in a way that this worked out for you, and you came back and said, "Okay, you were inspired by the conversation you heard." Obviously,
not only inspired by the conversation, but we had connected with our kids in a new way. I'm not an economist. I am a writer, and I worked in marketing and public relations before that. My husband is an attorney. We didn't major in economics, let's put it this way. So this was a new connection in our family, and I really wanted to keep it going. So I looked for a book that would allow us to do that. After not finding a book, I wrote out an idea, and I contacted Dr. Laffer, who's written many, many books for adults on economics. And I, you know, proposed that we write together. And Dr. Laffer is a grandfather, and he has many great-grandchildren at this stage of life. And he saw right away that this could be very powerful for families, just to give them a way to talk about economics at home.
My guest is Michelle Balcony. She's a freelance writer and speaker focused on creating connections between children and adults through economics. And before writing, Michelle worked in communications for some 15 years alongside technology investors introducing first to market products. She grew up in Florida, has lived many years in California and Massachusetts, and she now lives in Detroit with her husband, who is an attorney. They have two children. And this book that she has now put on the market is designed for children age 5 to 8 years old. That's a big step. And when we come back, I'm going to talk to Michelle about does she tell us how to make sure that we can talk to our kids? And sometimes about things that even we don't know so much about. Well, anyway, I think you'll find the discussion very important in terms of making a difference, a positive difference in the lives of your children and grandchildren. A great gift, I think. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
The book is called Let's Chat About Economics. It is written by Michelle Balcony and Dr. Arthur Laffer. With the illustrations by Mary A. Kinsora. I think it's a wonderful, wonderful book to give this holiday season. Michelle is with us to talk about what I think most people think is really a very difficult thing, Michelle, and that's getting your kids to understand what you're saying when you talk to them about economics. Tough or not?
Yes, it is tough. And what I have come to think is very useful for parents and grandparents, it's kind of a word replace. When you hear the word economics, and I mean at home, through the media, even with, you know, the upcoming presidential elections and the candidates that are seeking office, when you hear the word economics, replace it with choices. Choices is a word we're all familiar with. We make choices. We decide, you know, if we're going to get up on time when the alarm goes off, or we're going to give it a 5-minute snooze. We make a choice or a decision when we're having breakfast, when we're getting dressed, how we're using our time. You know, these are all choices that we make, none of which revolve around spending or saving money, although absolutely economics supports those choices. But I find just the word economics, you know, makes people just glaze over.
Yeah,
you know,
yes.
They're
no.
Taken back to school and widget manufacturing, or they think it doesn't apply to them. And I'm here to tell you, economics is around us in everyday life. Every choice we're making can be mapped to an economic decision.
Yeah, it's a great substitute word for economics. You're right, because it is all about choices, and that's what this really amounts to. How old were your children when you first talked to them about this?
Well, you know, we're very fortunate. I don't know if many know this, but in Michigan, we have kindergarten through 12th grade economic curriculum. So I will tell you, not all states are like that. I have aligned the book to several state curriculums, including Common Core. There's no economics in Common Core, but the book does align for reading and comprehension. So we first talked to our children about economics when our daughter was in first grade. She told us her teacher brought a big bag of pretzels to the classroom and talked to them about scarcity and how the children in the class would divide that bag of pretzels. Should they make it last all week? Should they just, divide and have them all in one day? Should it
choices.
Be for kids who completed their work? It was choices.
Choices, yeah.
And her first grade teacher did that. So when I set out to write the book based on a conversation in our own family around the dinner table, I talked to Dr. Laffer. We decided on the terms, but we decided to use everyday scenarios just like that.
Beautiful. Now, obviously, you talk about Detroit schools, and they're being taught in schools, but you obviously don't think that's enough.
No. And here's the thing. We've had very good experiences with our children. We've had phenomenal teachers, absolutely phenomenal. But, Brian and I decided to have a family many years ago, and we're responsible for raising our children. And there are many things that we talk about at home, whether or not they talk about it in school or not, really doesn't matter. We talk about them at home, and that revolves around our values, our faith, our hopes and our dreams. And in this case, I think it's a great opportunity to talk about economics and form a connection with your child. As one grandparent said to me, after a speech, they're worried about their grandchildren. One in particular was going away to college, had just graduated at 18. And that grandparent was worried that economics and financial literacy had never been discussed in their home, with their children raising their grandchildren. And isn't it a great idea to start talking about choices and economics with elementary students? Because later, when they're older and they go out on their own, to do whatever they would like to pursue at age 18 or beyond, that they have an understanding of decision-making and that everything has an opportunity cost. For example, we talk about opportunity cost as the thing you didn't choose. That could mean, you're choosing a chocolate chip cookie over a slice of cake for dessert. Mm-hmm. It could mean that you're playing out front with your friends instead of shooting hoops in the driveway. The opportunity cost is just the thing you didn't choose. Well, at 18, they're making a lot of choices. And if they decide to, go live on their own, then they're giving up the ability to live at home and save money.
That's a choice that they have to make. You're right. Let's chat about economics. Michelle Balcony is my guest. She's done the hard work for you folks here. The book is available. When we come back, she'll tell you where you can find the book. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors are the Defense Credit Union Council, the DCUC, and CUNA, C-U-N-A, the Credit Union National Association, and we thank them for their continued support of this program dedicated to making all of us financially fit. If there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please write to me here. I'll tell you what, just send it to my website at www.paulberry.com. That's easy. Everybody's doing that these days. It's a lot easier, I guess, than sitting down and writing a letter, but certainly send me an email if you have a topic that you want. One of the primary topics for me is the Defense Credit Union Council, the DCUC. They've been serving our U.S. military since 1928. As you know, we are heard on the American Forces Network around the world. So we talk about this organization as nonprofit financial institutions. Defense credit unions don't have stockholders to answer to. We have you, our member owners. It means lower fees, better rates, and always community-based. So defense credit unions understand the financial needs and challenges of a highly mobile membership. And because we are where you are, there's no need to walk outside the gates for service when you need a small dollar loan or just some real straight-up financial counseling. Of course, we have all of the other standard products and services like savings and checking accounts, auto loans, ATMs, and online banking. For Department of Defense civilians, service members, retirees, National Guard, reserves, and their families, Defense Credit Unions are there for you at all stages of your active career and beyond. Defense Credit Unions, join once, member for life. Go to DCUC.org to find your nearest Defense Credit Union today. All right, let's get back to the topic at hand. And that's a book that I am very, very fond of, as you can tell, because it actually is the epitome of what we preach. Economics for Children, Teaching Them at a Very Early Age. My guest, Michelle L. Balcony, teamed up with Dr. Arthur Laffer. What they put together is a book called Economics, or as you say, Michelle, it's really a book about choices.
That's right. Let's Chat About Economics really just presents choices in an everyday scenario and relates that to real economic terms. And I think that's unique about our book. We are using, you know, the real terms. We even have a glossary in the back of the book. So scarcity and supply, demand, incentive, disincentive, opportunity cost, these are all terms used in the book. In familiar scenarios, we have four short stories. Each take 10 minutes or less to read. And they're built around going to the grocery store, planning a family trip, fun that you're having in the summertime, and then earning and saving money via a yard sale for that must-have tech gadget.
It is so well thought out, folks, and it's a 48-page book. I mean, it's not a novel. It's a short book that has a very friendly face, shots of children, and it's the kind of book that, while the word economics is there, it's the kind of book that will be attractive to your child, so that that they'll want to open up. I think. Now, what age group are you really aiming this at this point?
You know, this was written, and I should mention too, it's beautifully illustrated from a young woman, also from Detroit, and she studied at the College for Creative Studies, just a fantastic art school. It's illustrated, so it does appeal to younger students. We've written it for elementary age students to read with their parents or their grandparents. But I should also mention early in the process, this material was part of a pilot program at a Detroit charter school with eighth graders. That was before it was illustrated, so it's even more kid-friendly with the illustration. But just to prove the point that the material and these, you know, common choices that we make every day, you know, do appeal to kids. And the charter school used it right before these children took a final exam in eighth grade for economics.
Oh, where can your book be found, Michelle?
Sure. Well, you know, it's always official when you're available on Amazon. So if anyone were to go to Amazon and search Let's Chat About Economics, you know, this is a two-way conversation in a family, so it's Let's Chat About Economics. We have it in three formats. We have a hardcover, a paperback, and a Kindle version.
Okay, so there, it's available in different formats that work for you. What's your plans for the future? I mean, is this more than just the start? I mean, are you going to do more books? Are you going to aim at different levels? What's in the future?
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I love speaking to groups of kids and adults. And so I talk at schools, I talk to parenting groups, even investors who want to treat their clients and say, how do we take what we do every day to kids? But we will also come out with another book, Let's Chat About Democracy. So look for that late next spring.
Thank you. Thanks so much for being with us, Michelle Balcony. We'll be right back with more. This is Home and Family Finance.
Safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
All righty. Thank you very much. I want to clean up a little bit of business that, from the last segment that I did with Michelle Balcony. She is available. By the way, you know, I know that sometimes we don't feel comfortable because we really haven't been so well-educated in terms of economics ourselves, and so she is available to anybody that would like her to come and talk about her book or about the topics at schools, and you can reach out to her if you want, and she invites you to do exactly that. So learn more at www.letschataboutecon.com or on Facebook and Twitter at Let's Chat Econ, that's ECON, and she'll be very pleased to come out and have a chance to chat with you. But right now, let me turn my attention to Walmart. Now, Walmart doesn't need promotion on this air. I mean, they're, you know, one of the biggest retailers around the country. But what they do need is a pat on the back for a program that is, I think, just it's phenomenal. There are 250,000 members of our military who are transitioning back to civilian life each year. They are returning to schools, workplaces, and neighborhoods across the country to take on important roles as neighbors, co-workers, coaches, teachers, leaders, and engaged and active citizens. We need to greet them because they have not only to say thank you for your service, but also to welcome them back into the role of a civilian. And as part of Walmart's continuing commitment to supporting veterans, it has partnered now with the Institute for Veterans and Military Families. That's IVMF. Team Red, White and Blue, Team Rubicon, Hire Heroes USA, and Blue Star Families, and they've launched what they're calling the Green Light a Vet campaign. I saw this, and immediately I knew I had to share this, and we needed the right person to help share it with. And who better to do that than Brigadier General retired Gary Proffitt, Senior Director of Military Programs, Walmart. With more than 31 years of service, U.S. Army service, Brigadier General Proffitt retired on February 28, 2006, and until October 2008, he was the Director of Human Capital Management Solutions, International Programs, and Department of Defense Business Transformation Agency Program, Civilian and Homeland Security Solutions, General Dynamics Information Technology, on and on. I mean, he's just not stopped serving. And right now he is involved in this program, and we've invited him to join us. And the other reason I love him is because he's from a town that I grew up in, one of the towns, Ypsilanti, Michigan. And if you don't know how to say Ypsilanti, then you've never been there. You have to be there. You have to go through to say it. But Jeepers, Gary, what a pleasure to have you on the program. Thanks for being with us.
Well, Paul, thank you so much for the invitation and for everything that you do to make it a little bit better for all of those who are stationed overseas and or deployed overseas and around this great world and their families. Yeah. Bringing a little bit of home to them.
This is and thank you for this. I appreciate that. Yeah, we both feel the same way. We and here in the end of November, which is a month when we do stop to salute our veterans and to thank them for their service. It was a delight to see that this program was underway. I didn't know about this. Tell me about the program today.
Well, we're very excited to take a step on the journey that we've been on since Captain U.S. Army Sam Walton founded Walmart over 50 years ago, and Green Light a Vet is the most recent step on that path. It is a campaign that we hope will spark a movement and to really create a much more robust and meaningful conversation in communities across America to shine a light on veterans and their families as the valuable community members that we know that they are.
And indeed they are. And what I love about the idea here is let's massage the nation. And what I mean by that is you've got to say to sometimes you have to say, hey, look, this person has spent a great deal of their life, whether it be years, months, whatever, somewhere around the world doing what is needed to do to protect us. We ought to be able to make sure they feel like they're welcome home. And even more so than that, we need to make sure that they understand that we're willing to hire them, we're willing to invite them back into our community, we're willing to show them the love that they have worked hard and earned. And that's what this program really is about doing, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. We don't ever want to stop honoring their service and respecting their sacrifice, but we want to recognize them for the incredible investment that our nation has made in them, both in knowledge, skills, and abilities, and in growth and development as leaders, and to have them recognized once again as the assets they are in our communities. And I think that's a conversation that it's time to have. And we're very gratified, Paul, with the response that we've gotten since we launched on October 26th. More than or nearly 3.5 million Americans have indicated their support for Green Light a Vet by going to a landing page called greenlightavet.com and doing all kinds of things, pressing a button that indicates their support, through social media, uploading pictures of green light bulbs on their porches, and we're just we couldn't be more pleased with the response. Now, with all that said, however, 3 weeks does not create a movement, and so this campaign will very much continue through next year because we want it to be sustained,
be successful,
and enduring, because it's a conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Gary. And I couldn't agree more. When we come back, I want to talk more about the particulars of the program here, the green light aspect of it, the hiring of that. Let's get into it, how people and somebody, well, you know, nothing like, yes, there is something you can do, something you should do. And when we come back, Gary will talk about that and the sustainability of this great program. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
It's called Green Light a Vet. And it couldn't be a more appropriate name, I think. Walmart and its partners hope to spark a national conversation regarding the value and contributions our veterans make, not only to the defense of our nation, but to our communities as they take off the uniform and return to civilian life. About $250,000 a year, folks. The campaign launch initiates conversations, builds awareness, encourages the public to show their support by doing some of the things that that Gary Prophet is here to share with you. He is a senior a director of military programs at Walmart, a retired brigadier general, so he knows the sacrifice that these men have made. Indeed, he made it himself for many years in the military. Gary, I love the green light. Are you suggesting that we should put a porch light, a green light on our porch?
Paul asked people to activate in ways that were meaningful to them. We suggested that there are as many ways to green light a vet as there are people in this great country. And we gave some ideas, but rather than being prescriptive, here's a list of some of them. We said, hire one today or help a veteran find a job. Volunteer or serve with a veterans groups in your local community. Start a mentor-mentee relationship with the returning veteran. Raise awareness on social media, or simply signal appreciation by changing your porch light to green. Thousands of people, millions of people arguably have done just that.
It's phenomenal. It's
on porches across the country, all the way to state capitals, football stadiums. It's been incredible. We think that this is just the beginning of this particular campaign, and we expect that a movement will change the way we think about relating to our veterans and their families and our communities.
And the beauty of this, folks, is that we've heard the reports about veterans not being able to get the correct medical care, and they can't this. And then as a Vietnam vet, I came back, and at a point that when I came back, it wasn't, you know, rah, 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 because it was a war that we did not, quote, unquote, win. But I can assure you that veterans fought as hard in the Vietnam War as they did in any other campaign. I adore this idea. Wouldn't it be nice if you walked out of your house during the holiday season and even before, all during the month, and you looked up and you saw the green light and you knew immediately that this family or that family, wherever, were saying, I support our veterans and I'm part of the program. You'd like this to be coast to coast, wouldn't you?
We know that it already has begun in that way, Paul. And before I go any farther, thank you for your service, because we do know that across the generations and across this country, people have served since the beginning of our nation. And we think that all of them are valuable members of, yes, our communities and should be so recognized.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more, and it doesn't make any difference whether they're talking about World War II, and there are only a few of those gentlemen and ladies that served still alive. We had a few of them here in Washington last week, Gary. It was wonderful at the honors program for our military. I had the pleasure, yep, of hosting that show, and it was just delightful. to see. One of them was, of course, Colonel Cole, who was Jeremy Doolittle's right-hand man on that flight. He is one of two left still alive, and we toasted him. And then we had folks from the Korean conflict. We had folks from the Vietnam. We had folks from Afghanistan. All of them have one thing in common, and I said this, and I think you'll agree. Somebody said, well, they're, you know what? They were ordinary people who did an extraordinary thing. They never struck, went out to be heroes. That wasn't the idea. They're just regular folks like you and me, ordinary people who did an extraordinary thing, those who were awarded. But that didn't mean that they were any better than the everyday soldier who did his service, served his country, came home, and we can't forget about these folks.
We, again, view these folks as just very, very valuable in our communities. And importantly, we need to get past the public discourse of whether they're either viewed as heroes or victims.
Right.
We think it's more than that, and I think we'd like to change that conversation because, again, we ought to always honor their service and respect their sacrifice, but let's greenlight them forward like we've tried to do at Walmart by hiring them. And we're just very pleased that we've been able to greenlight the 100,000th hire as a part of our Veterans Welcome Home commitment.
Wow.
In the last month or so. And most of these folks just want a chance to reintegrate and transition into civil society, and we all can do a little part to make that happen.
Well, I like the idea that one of the points that you made, the volunteer and service with veterans groups in the community, don't leave them. You know, they should be having to say to folks, we don't have any more room in our groups in the community. You know, it ought to be a point where we are just breaking down their door to say, how can I be of service? What can we do to make sure that you feel comfortable, that you feel integrated back into your community or a new community if you've moved to someplace new?
We're all a part of networks, and we just need to invite them to our networks, and we need to invite ourselves into theirs.
It's a wonderful program, and did I hear you say 100,000? Is that...
We've hired since Memorial Day of 2013 when we launched the Veterans Welcome Home Commitment.
Yeah.
Now more than 100,000 veterans at Walmart.
Wow, 100,000. That's wonderful. What a pleasure, Gary, to have you here on the show. We'll come back and do another segment with you. I just love the topic. I love the idea that we're taking time to say thank you to the many men and women across this great country who have served and those who are still serving today. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We'll be right back with Gary Prophet. Welcome to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on a very, very special day as we pay attention to a program that has been started now by Walmart, which I think you should know about if you don't already know about it. And I can tell whether you know about it because when I drive by your house, if I see a green light on your porch, I know that you know about Green Light a Vet. Now, this program is designed to spark a national conversation regarding the value and contributions our veterans make not only to the defense of our nation, but to our communities as they take off the uniform and return to civilian life. The campaign launch initiates conversations and builds awareness that encourages the public to show their support by doing a number of things that my guest Gary Prophet has talked about: hiring a vet, volunteering in service with veterans groups, starting a mentor-mentee relationship with a returning vet. How does that work? What do you have in mind there on the mentor-mentee relationship, Gary?
We've all, through our careers, found that someone being a nice sounding board for us.
Yes.
and offering a bit on their life experiences has been central to our success. And whether it's a junior or a senior high school football coach, or whether it's someone in our church, or whether it's our next door neighbor. Seems to me that we've all benefited from an experience where someone has just paid it forward and shared what they could to make our life a little bit easier and a little bit better.
And let me just add to that, because you well said, Gary. Look, you don't have to have a doctor's in front of your name or behind it, a PhD. No, you've had an experience. You're old enough to have had an experience in your life. You can say and do the right thing that may make the difference in terms of the direction that a young person coming out of the war zones might need to hear. So don't write yourself out of that process. You can mentee or mentor a young person who you see that you may find them in church. You may find them at the supermarket. You may hear about them from some other source, your children. Don't hesitate to spend a moment to talk with him. You don't have to be a doctor in psychiatry to make a difference, do you?
No, gosh. And you know what I've always told people? Whenever I've been involved as a mentor for someone, I almost uniformly have had to apologize because I think I have gotten more out of it than I've contributed.
Isn't that
so
true?
It's an incredible experience, and this would probably be a good time, Paul, for me to just make sure that I recognize our empowering organizations that all operate in communities across the country.
Please
and
do.
Are
Go
doing
ahead.
Just wonderful work, whether it, as you said earlier, the Institute for Veterans and Military Families at Syracuse University, or whether it's Team Rubicon or Team Red, White, and Blue or Blue Star Families or Higher Heroes USA, they're making a difference. And we'd like to shine a special spotlight on them for their good work and their willingness to join us and to make a difference.
Yeah, and I thank you for that. Yeah, they certainly deserve to be called out because they are making a difference. They do understand the importance of this. And Lord knows, Gary, if we didn't think this was important before, here we are looking down the barrel of who knows what around the world where we're going to need our military to continue to offer us support and protection. So, you know, we can play it forward right now by letting them know that we appreciate those who have served and we appreciate those who will serve. And many more may be called up to do something in the next few years. You agree with that?
Yeah. At all costs, we must protect the all-volunteer force. And one of the ways to do that is to continue to honor the service and respect the sacrifice of those who have given of their time and, in some cases, life and limb to serve our country. And we must never forget, but more than that, we must do something about making it a reality when they reintegrate and into our communities.
Green Light of Vet is the name of the program. Brigadier General retired Gary Proffitt, thank you for joining us. Come back and see us soon, would you?
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been a pleasure. And folks, if you're on social media, put down Green Light of Vet in there when your messages are in those millions of messages that that transpire every day. It's been a pleasure, as always, being with you. My thanks to Gary and to Michelle. We'll be back next week, same time, same place. We'll be looking for you. I hope you'll join us here on Radio America. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.